This is 702's Clement Magnatella, live from Tshwane.
Let's walk the talk.
So I want to bring in Taryn Henops now, a founder and CEO of Henops Revival Project. Thank you, Taryn, for making time to come through. How are you doing?
Good morning, Clement. I'm very well, thanks, and yourself?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming through. It's freezing.
I know. I can't believe it. Yesterday was boiling.
Right? It's raining. I didn't see this. I mean, the way I'm even dressed, I don't think I'm dressed appropriately for the rain and this cold. So, tell me about what the Henops Revival Project does and what kind of issues do you deal with the residents?
So I run a non-profit organization called Henops Revival, and we focus on reviving, healing, and restoring the Henops River. Mm. And obviously, together with that goes the people, because without working with the people and uplifting the people, we're never going to fix the state of our water. I think our rivers are a reflection of a very broken system and a huge amount of pain, where, you know, the river reflects the pain of the people, the pain that the people are in. And so we're working at it from all aspects, job creation, poverty alleviation, and, you know, community upliftment, as well as cleaning the actual river, standing knee-deep, waist-high in sewage on a daily basis, and, you know, picking out the rubbish that's in the water from all the pollution that's in our country.
Yeah, where are the failures? Because environmental issues are just as important, right? Disaster management as well. I mean, where does the administration come in? And from what you've observed over the last couple of years, and even before the DA took over, what was the position and approach in dealing with environmental issues in Tshwane?
Well, look, there has not been too much environmental action, as far as I'm aware. I've been doing this for 2 years now, and really started quite a wave where it's focusing on getting the communities involved in cleaning up their own towns, just as out of a sense of pride for where we live. This is, I think people have become apathetic and want to leave everything up to the government to fix and solve. And if you just look at it from a numbers perspective, how many people are employed in the government versus how many people are ordinary civilians, the maths doesn't equate. We have to get our hands dirty and start fixing our own problems. We can't just rely on the government to do everything.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're noticing in many, many areas, where residents are like, we're tired of the failures of this government and we're taking up responsibility. I want to bring into this conversation Thabang Bebe, who is the director of Agape Youth Movement. Thank you, Thabang, for also joining us. You work a lot with the youth. What are their issues as we count down to elections?
I think the main problem for the youth, especially in the city, would be unemployment, the high levels of crime and drug abuse. And that's the core of, I think unemployment is the core of the other problems that emulate, because if you are not employed, you are not able to put food on the table, you are desperate, you resort to crime and you get depressed and you resort to drug abuse. So the main issue would be unemployment for the young people of the city of Tshwane. As you know, the city is it's got a young demographic. I mean, it's the young population, it's got the youngest population in of all the metros and of all the cities in South Africa. So unemployment is the most critical one for me, for our organization as well, Agape Youth Movement.
Are you satisfied with how the metro is responding to that crisis?
No, because they seem to have not streamlined youth in particular. And a lot of people are frustrated because before, with the previous administration, it was sort of politicized. And there was an opportunity for the new administration to come in and fix those challenges, and they didn't. They just sidelined it instead of mainstreaming youth development, particularly in the surrounding areas, your big townships, and they're not doing so. And it's very frustrating for the young people on the ground, and they look towards organizations that work with young people to sort of empower them, bring in some form of informal and formal training so that they can be active in the mainstream economy, which is a challenge for small organizations like some of us. So, but we try.
But what can they do differently?
I think
We've had these conversations before for the longest of time. I think I can go back as far as 2011. And we've said, look, if you want to make an impact, especially in the city of Tshwane, is that you need to decentralize youth development. Mm. We've had it for the longest time under the ANC government. There's a centralized structure where you have youth officers, but they're sitting in the mayor's office and they're not on the ground. They're not closer to the people. Mm. So if you decentralize to regions, we have 7 regions in Tshwane. If you decentralize that office and you put different regional offices, people are able to engage and the government can able to know what solutions for which region, you know, especially around the big 5 townships where it's critical now. It's we are nearing a disaster stage in terms of youth unemployment and people resorting to crime, and it's becoming very. We are sitting on a, I don't know, in a volcanic.
I think it's a disaster already.
Yeah, it is, but the response, the reaction is not happening like some of us have envisaged that. In the next few years, we're going to have a serious uprising. It's coming up in drips and drabs in terms of protests and you know, political parties taking advantage of the situation. But it will happen one day where it will be, they'll render the city ungovernable. And no one will lead that revolution. And we need to combat that before it gets there. And we can get there any day from now because young people are extremely desperate. If you go into the townships, they're just all over the place doing nothing, and it's bad. You'll be wondering, it's during the day. People should be at work, they should be at school.
It's interesting because I got a voice note earlier from one of our listeners who lives in Hammanskraal, and she says, if I drove into Hammanskraal now, I'm going to see so many young people in the community.
I think it's a weekend.
I'm actually going to think it's a holiday or it's the weekend, but that really speaks to the high levels of unemployment. How are you addressing that with your project at Terran? And are there opportunities to work with government as you address these socioeconomic issues? Because you're not going to do it alone as the citizens. Government is not going to do it alone, but there must be some level, some kind of partnership.
There has to be a partnership, absolutely. This is not a problem that's going to be solved by one entity, and we all need to pull together as human beings and as a country and stand to sort this out, because it's not going to be done by one single entity. It has to be collaborative. We're very lucky because we've got a very good working relationship with the city of Tshwane, so and with me being active and on the ground all the time, I can easily report faults, and you know, if I find a blocked water stormwater drain or is leaking sewage manhole, it's I can drop a pin location, send a photo, and it will get fixed within that same day, you know. So it's very important for citizens to engage with their ward councillors, with their, you know, with their municipal officials, so that, you know, because active citizens help municipalities to function better. And so, you know, the more people that you have on the ground reporting issues and being actively involved in their society, the really the better it is for the whole country.
Yeah, and how active are you in your community? Please give me a call. And if you can relate to some of these challenges and concerns that Thabang and Taran are speaking to, I'd like to hear from you. 011-883-0702. I've got your voice notes as well coming through that I'll play on 072-702-1702. Peter, you are calling us from Tshwane. Good morning.
Good morning, Clement. Just a comment on that. One of the big challenges we have is waste and the job creation. And what I don't see, I see plastic recycling being done on an informal basis by people trying to make a living, you know, walking the streets the morning before there's a rubbish pickup and sifting through the rubbish, and then they have to on their own find a way to sell these, and it's all unregulated, all unsupported. So how difficult can it be for the municipality to actually formalize this and assist them and put up certain points where rubbish can be recycled and collected, and they can be paid for it, and it can be formalized, and it makes their life easier, make the streets cleaner, and they get jobs and create jobs in the same way. But there's no initiative that's coming forward from Tshwane. Thank you.
Yeah, I hear you, Peter. Thank you so much for calling us. Taran, Peter speaking about just the recycling of plastics, and that, I mean, even when you look at the rubbish, it's not really picked up. And by the way, I told you earlier about the protest taking place outside Tshwane House. It's municipal workers. And just earlier on, Laura, the producer of the show, who's here with me, was telling me that they were dumping waste on the roads. And they were dumping waste on the roads as a form of protest. And the Metro Police were busy cleaning it up. So that's what was happening outside Swane House a little earlier on. But Taryn, Peter raises a good point, right? Because that can be a form of employment, right? Get young people involved. Let's recycle plastic. Let's get rubbish picked up. Currently, that's not really what's happening to the fullest.
It's definitely not. And one of the things that I always say is that, you know, this good practice starts at home. And it starts with us as consumers making better choices when we go to the shops, because the reality is that we go to the shops and we buy plastic and styrofoam with almost all our purchases, you know. Yeah. Although that's not what we go to the shops to buy, we end up buying it, and then where does that go? So if we're not responsible and recycling and separating our waste from our organic waste, it's all going to end up in the dustbins, which gets emptied by the pickers and then has to be washed at the nearest water sources to get a higher sale value on their products. Yeah. And that just further pollutes the rivers, and obviously everything. A lot of them are in a race against time because the municipal trucks come early, so they're literally just grabbing at whatever they can to get product, get stock, because they're in such a desperate situation as it is.
Yeah.
And but if we as consumers think first about what we're purchasing, how it's packaged, because we're left with very little choice. Make your responsible choices in the shop, and then wash and separate your recyclables at home before it goes out into the waste for collection.
Yeah, it starts with us, right? Responsible, active citizenry. I'm going to come to you, Thabang, shortly. Let's just take Thulani, who's calling us from Four Ways. Thulani, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. I was going to say, one of your guests touched on the issue of youth unemployment. It's a reality. It is very true, and it is a ticking time bomb. But what you and I, Clement, know that employment is actually created by small and micro enterprises. Anywhere in the world, it's not the government that actually creates employment. It's small and micro enterprises. Yes. But why is it that these small and micro enterprises in South Africa do not actually employ South Africans? Most of them employ foreigners, and illegal foreigners at that. No. So my point was, I'm going to vote for a party that is going to deal decisively with the issue of illegality in this country. We've got so many illegal foreigners that are employed. The youth in the townships, I mean, I was born and bred in Tembisa. If I drive to Tembisa now, you'd be amazed. You'd be shocked. You made a comment earlier that it actually looks like a weekend or a public holiday. It does. And that applies to every single township in this country. It's a big problem. And I promise you now, if it doesn't get sorted out, and we don't deal decisively with it, it's going to create a huge problem. It's going to erupt, and we'll not be able to deal with that eruption. Thank you, Clement.
Yeah. Thank you for your call, Thulani. And Thabang, Thulani is commenting on the point you were making earlier around the revolution and how young people... And the reality here is that young people are so unhappy about government doing its job to create an environment that's conducive for businesses, especially small businesses, to create jobs. And it gets to a point where they start now even bringing in foreigners. And I'm not saying that's not the problem. There are instances where you've got foreign nationals that are employed. But young people now start using that and saying, why are you employing these people that don't even have papers in some instances, and we are left to fend for ourselves? That's where it's getting to.
And much of that, not just small business employing foreigners, you've got foreign nationals establishing small businesses in the community. Most of your spaza shops that are predominantly were black ran are run by Pakistanis, people from the Far East. You know, they're doing this township economy, like the government likes to name it. And young people are being frustrated at that, because number one, you have an untrained labor force. These young people are not just unemployed, they don't have skills.
Yeah,
exactly. They don't have skills to either organize themselves maybe into a cooperative or form a a small to medium enterprise that they can run in the community, what, like how our foreign brothers are doing. Mm. And that's where the government is missing the opportunities. Instead of, you know, targeting or taking advantage, politicizing this issue of the township economy, get these young people to be trained by these foreign nationals, buy them out, get these young people to run these businesses in the communities, and you will curb the issue of xenophobia and these frustrations that are happening.
Because everybody is invested, right, in that business. It's not just these people that have just come in this community and they've set up shop. It's as community members, we invested in the business itself.
Yes. And we support it on a daily. We buy bread there, we buy whatever convenient things we need. And we should really look at that model and try to get informal trade going, using these models that these guys are coming in and taking advantage. It's not just shops, it's salons, it's internet cafes, and all those things need just soft skills. You don't need to be very skilled or have a university degree to be able to do some of these things that these people are doing.
Yeah.
So we need to link our education system, your TVET system, to fitting the needs that are existing there in the townships, which are very small scale technical stuff that can be done with a course for a couple of weeks, and someone can come out skilled and make a business out of it. And that's where the CTAS need to focus on. That's where the TVET colleges need to, the curriculum need to speak to what the demand is already there. It's just that we need to take advantage and upskill these youth to do those things. That's my solution.
Yeah, and the question is, the parties that are coming going to do all of that? Because they may be promising that they will, but whether they actually will is another story. Thank you, guys. Thabang Bebe, director at Agape Youth Movement, and Taryn Henops, who is the founder and CEO at Henops Revival Project.